Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk, introducing our new co-host, Evan. Me and Evan will be coming at you live and direct tonight. We got a lot to talk about. So what's going on, Evan? Yo, Evan, you there? All right, Evan might be having some difficulties with his mic. But look, tonight we got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about Connor and Dustin moving from 170 to 155. We're going to talk about Felder stepping in to fight RDA. Then we got Kevin Holland taking a short notice fight to fight Tom Hermanson. And then, but to kick off the show, we're going to review Glover versus Teixeira. I mean, Glover versus Santos, and what the win means for Glover, and what does it mean for the light heavyweight division. So, let me go ahead and introduce my co-host tonight. That's Evan. What's going on, Evan? How you doing, bro? Let me click Evan in again. Yo, Evan, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yo, Evan, I can hear you now, bro.
Sorry, I don't know what was going on there. I heard you the whole time.
Yeah, I just had to click you out and click you back in. But what's going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing good, man, doing good. I agree with what you were saying. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of big things coming up in the fights, a lot of recap to do. So let's just get started, shall we?
Yeah, man. So let's get into it, man. Glover Teixeira with a big upset win over Thiago Santos. What were your thoughts?
I was not stunned, but I guess more so disappointed. You know, I kind of really wanted Santos, and I just don't see Glover really, you know, staying at the top of the division. And you know, a lot of people are like kind of, you know, hyped on Glover's 4-fight win streak, and I respect it. You know, it's a respectable win streak, but in all honesty, if you actually look up the 4-fight win streak that he's on right now, it's not like he's, you know, knocking down these world beaters. You know, if you give me 1 second, I just look up his record. Yeah, his 4-fight win streak right now consists of Carl Robinson, who is, I believe, naturally a middleweight. He's got Ion Kitubela, who just got knocked out in his last fight. His biggest win, in my opinion, is Nikita Krylov, which was a split decision, because his next two wins are against Anthony Smith, who another middleweight coming up to light heavyweight, and then Santos, another middleweight coming up to light heavyweight. So I feel like Glover always had the advantage, but great performance. You know, I don't want to take anything from him, as I just did. It's a great performance. He looked really good. His grappling was unmatched, and Santos appeared just to have no grappling whatsoever. But, you know, we can talk about that another time, but to stop rambling, it was a great performance, and I'm interested to see what's next for Glover.
You know, man, I don't know why we didn't see this coming when we made our predictions, because Jan and Glover are two guys that I've seen to pick against a lot, but I did pick Jan to beat Reyes, though. And these guys, they do not get shooken when they're in the octagon. They do not stray away from their game plan when they're in the octagon. They seem to adapt their game plan to how the fight is going, you know, who they're fighting, and the pace of the fight. And I thought Glover looked good against Santos. but using the word you use, I am kind of disappointed in Santos' performance. But at the same time, we do have to realize that he did mess up both his knees in his last fight. This is his first fight back after the surgery. And he's fighting a top 5 guy. And, you know, Maybe his next fight he'll look better, being that he's got some of that ring rust off him. But, man, Glover, man, he is just turning back the hands of time right now. And he looked so good. And actually, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to come at you with the question. I'm definitely looking forward to your answer. With Glover's win and him being on this five-fight win streak, does he deserve a title shot? And if he gets a title shot, would you be mad that Izzy's not fighting for the light heavyweight belt?
I would not be mad if Glover took that, you know, took the shot from Izzy. The fight, the Izzy fight, is kind of just random because they Dana White just says that, you know, Whitaker didn't want to fight against Adesanya, which is not necessarily true. There's more to what Whitaker was saying, but regardless, the Izzy fight is just an opportunity for, you know, the UFC to get him a second belt to entice Jones to come back to 205, and then Jones will come back to light heavyweight, so then they can book the Francis Stipe fight without any issues. But no, Glover's number one now. Santos was ranked number one. Glover now, he's the number one light heavyweight in the world under the champion, so he deserves it. There's no one else for him to beat. You know, there's no point in him fighting Reyes. Alexander Rakic is not on his level right now, and the only other guy left is Jiří Procházka. Procházka, I think you say his name. So, no, I would not be mad if they took the fight from Izzy and gave it to Glover. I think it should go to Glover regardless.
Yeah, I think Jiří, I think he has a fight. I want to say he's fighting Dominic Reyes next. I'm trying to look it up now. But I think he's fighting Dominique Reyes next, which is definitely a hell of a fight because I like Jiří. He's actually looked good since coming over to the UFC. They say his next opponent is to be determined, but I want to say that I saw someone saying that he was going to fight Dominique Reyes. But I could be wrong.
No, I believe I saw that too, but – you know, it makes me wonder, with a guy like Alexander Rakic kind of right there, you know, you got options. You know, you could do the Reyes fight, but you could also do the Alexander fight. So we'll see what happens.
I think Rakic is kind of stuck in, like, a no man's land right now. Because basically what you would have to do is he would have to fight either Reyes or Santos next. But I think Reyes is fighting Jiří. So I think Rockets will have to fight Santos. So basically, somebody is going to have to fight down to this guy that's in the top five. So I like Rockets. I like what he brings to the table. But I'm with you, man. I think Glover deserves a title shot. I think the Izzy fight will always be there. And is he going to sit around to next year, next March, because Jan has said he's not fighting till March due to the birth of his child. So basically he's calling his shot now. Well, actually he's doing some champ lifting, I say. So is he going to sit around and wait until March? So it's kind of up in the air on what they're going to do. And I think Glover probably ain't going to want to sit around to March either, man. That's like, what's that, 4 months? So I'd rather see Glover get a shot. I'd rather see Jan's first title defense be against a true light heavyweight. And I'm going to be real with you on Evan. I don't see John Jones putting on all that weight just to come back down to 205 to fight Izzy, man. I just don't see that happening. That makes totally no sense to put on all that weight and the way he's been strategic about putting on the weight just to go down to 205 to fight Izzy. I just don't see it happening. I don't see John Jones letting Izzy punk him to fight in that 205. So I think this Izzy Jones fight might just be a pipe dream.
I agree. And I actually didn't even think about that, of the thought that Jones was going to be putting on a lot of weight to, you know, kind of bulk up for heavyweight. But I don't know. It's John Jones in a weird spot right now, because if he wanted to, he could go back to 205 and get the belt back immediately. They'll give him a title shot. But you know the UFC is trying to book him versus Stipe to get him that heavyweight belt. But if they do that, they're going to get a very, very angry Francis Ngannou. And that is not someone they want to lose, you know. Like, could you imagine losing Francis to, like, Bellator?
Well, I think Dana White came out and said that Francis is getting the next shot. He did say that. And John, I want to say he also went as far as to say that John Jones was like the winner of that fight. So I think right now everybody's just waiting on Stipe to see what Stipe is going to do. Is Stipe going to fight again? Is he going to vacate? You know, what's going on with Stipe? I think that's the first domino we need to fall first, is what Stipe is going to do. And then after we figure that out, then we'll know which way the UFC going to go. Because if Stipe vacates or he retires or whatever he's going to do, because he's really having problems with his eye. And he almost pulled out of the DC fight because of the eye. But, you know, they said it was good enough for him to fight, blah, 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 blah. So if Stipe vacates, it's going to be Jones versus Ngannou, which is a fight I think the UFC wants anyway. And if Stipe doesn't, then you'll get Stipe versus Ngannou. I mean, it's just that easy. It really doesn't take a rocket science to figure this out, UFC. If we can figure it out, you guys should better figure it out. But you never know with the way UFC does their matchmaking. Their matchmaking is something that, in my opinion, needs to be fixed. It's not what it should be. They just throw stuff together just for the sake of fighting. It's sometimes you got to have a rhyme and a reason of why you're making fights.
I agree. No, because you would think that, you know, a rhyme or a reason for why they make fights, but you feel bad for a guy like Leon Edwards, who was supposed to fight Woodley and then arguably was going to get his title shot and now is going to get a main event fight night against, you know, the new hype train and Khamzat Chimaev. So,
but see, that's just the thing, though. It was like, let's just say when Lorenzo Fertitta and the other guy was doing a matchmaking, you already knew if you want to fight who your next guy was going to be. It wasn't going to be, you know, you turning this fight down. The UFC didn't play that back then. You're not turning down fights. You fighting the next guy. You fighting your way up. And now these guys just pick and choose who they want to fight. Everybody, and you might disagree with me on this, but it seems like everybody is ducking Leon Edwards. What is so special about Leon Edwards that everybody is ducking him?
No, I agree. I agree they are ducking him. And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like Leon Edwards, and there's been a lot of claims that he's been, you know, he's declined, you know, fight offers. But if you go down the list of fight offers that he's been given, I believe one of them was the title fight, but it was during the beginning of the pandemic, and London was still on, like, severe lockdown where you couldn't – no gyms, nothing. And, like, you're not going to risk your one title shot that you might ever get on no true training. Like, that's just silly. So he declined that. And then – because I watched his interview today, and he – you know, they claim that he was offered Colby Covington. But apparently it was more so, like, you know, would you fight Colby? And I think he talked to his team, and they said, you know, whatever. But then they went the Woodley route with Colby. And then there was claims that he was offered Geoff Neal, and Edwards declines that, and he says, I was never offered that fight. So I think, I just think people, I don't know what it is. I don't know why people are just ducking him. They are. They're ducking Leon Edwards, and everyone claims he's boring and this and that, but it's clear as day that they don't want to fight him for whatever reason, which is very odd. And in his defense, though, he's ranked number three, if I'm correct. Yeah, he's number three. Him fighting Jorge Masvidal right now at number four is a 50-50 fight because it could gain a lot of, you know, media buzz and the whole, you know, three-piece soda thing. But him fighting Stephen Thompson at number five makes no sense. And then him fighting really anyone else besides the title shot, I just don't see why he would fight anyone else. So, I don't know. I really don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, it's a puzzle that we can't put together. But hopefully, if actually, when he fights Chimaev, if he wins, I don't – to me, it's hands down he should get a title shot. That's just my personal opinion. He's number three. And I think the guys above him may have already fought for the belt. But I think he deserves it. It's just, I mean, what was he supposed to do with the pandemic? His country was locked down. He couldn't get over here. And then the London card was canceled where he was due to fight Woodley. I mean, what else was he supposed to do? That was out of his control. You can't punish him for something that's out of his control. So, yeah, because I want to say Colby Covington is in front of him and somebody else is in front of him, but I think Gilbert Burns is in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah
man, I like the fact. Yeah. And Colby already lost to him, and Burns is getting the next shot. So, hey, if Edwards wins, to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, Edwards even offered to fight Gilbert Burns. He was like, since Usman is hurt, I'll fight Gilbert Burns. Gilbert Burns turned it down.
You know, he did turn it down, and, you know, I understand why. You know, Gilbert Burns was – he was signed to fight – he was literally 2 weeks away from fighting for the title, and COVID got him. So I understand why, you know, he's going to decline that fight offer. Because in the end, it's either I wait and get my title shot or I risk it and, you know, fight Edwards. And, you know, sometimes risking it is just not good because, for example, JoJo Calderwood, she was supposed to fight Valentina back in June, and they had to pull that because Valentina got hurt. So then JoJo took a fight against Jennifer Maia. And got submitted. And now Jennifer Maia immediately got the title shot. So you don't want to lose your title shot. In the UFC, with how fast they're building stars, you do not want to give up your title shot because it might be the only one you'll ever get.
Yeah, because the same thing happened with my man Frankie Edgar when he lost to Brian McGregor. You know,
exactly.
He ended up getting knocked out by Ortega. And then he had to go back in the back of the line, and I think he had to fight two more times after Ortega lost, just to get back into title contention, which he ended up losing to Max Holloway. But he didn't look as bad against Max as Ortega did. But you know,
no,
that's the way the dominoes fall, man. It's just like you have to weigh the risk and the reward. Sometimes the risk outweighs the reward in the UFC, but do you want to sit on your ass for 6 months, though? Do you want to be waiting around 6 months to fight?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. But, all right, man, let's talk about this, man. Last week, I know you saw it on social media. We talked about it last week on the show. Conor and Dustin were going to fight at 170. And then all of a sudden, last week, it's announced they're fighting at 155. On the show last week, I said, If Conor and Dustin are fighting at 155, something is up with the title. Dana came out and said that Khabib will not be stripped. He's going to give him some time to decide what he's going to do. My gut feeling tells me that this Conor and Dustin fight is going to be for an interim belt at 155, and they just haven't announced it yet. Am I on to something or am I tripping?
I think you're on to something, and I'm going to double down, and I'm going to say that if they're going to do, I don't think they're even going to bother doing an interim belt. I just think they will, the UFC almost will force Khabib to vacate the belt just because they want to put the belt back on Conor that much.
Wow. Go ahead, talk about it. Talk about it. Give me some more gems.
No, the idea that Conor McGregor is finally like this close, literally like inches away from being the champion again, you know the UFC is going to do whatever they need to do to get him that belt back around his waist. It's going to benefit them in the long run. So I can't see them, you know, allowing Khabib to kind of just hold on to the belt. You know, they'll give it, like I said, that fight's not happening until January, so they got time. You know, Khabib's got time. I don't think he'll ever fight again. I think Khabib's truly done. So he will vacate at some point. And as I've said just, you know, just before, the immediate chance that they will get to get that belt back around Conor's waist, they will take. So I'd say by early January, even late December, we're going to see that fight will be for the vacant title.
And I totally, totally agree. The UFC would do anything to advance their cash machine, which happens to be Conor McGregor. Anything that puts him in a super positive light and makes his fans go crazy, they are willing to do. They have already sold their soul to the devil when it comes to Conor McGregor. As most people know, I'm not the biggest McGregor fan, but I do know business, the business of the fight game and what it means. So if they can put that belt on him, if they can give it to him without him fighting, they would do that. But they can't do that. So when I saw that it was going to be at 155, I automatically said to myself, they are trying to put the belt on him. And stylistically, this fight is a fight that allows him to win. Because Dustin isn't going to take him down. Dustin is going to fight his fight. He's going to try to stand in pain with Conor. And I think that plays into Conor's hand. So, yeah, man, I don't think they're going to really put the screws to Khabib like that, though. I don't think they would do that. I don't think they would force him to vacate it. So I think that it would be for the interim belt, man. I think Dana probably has enough respect for Khabib that he won't force him to vacate the belt.
Mm.
And to be honest, he shouldn't force him to vacate the belt. It ain't like he was fighting 2-3 times a year anyway. If he was fighting twice a year, he was fighting twice a year at the most. At the most, he was fighting twice a year. So you can't – I mean, what's the big deal if he take 6 months off? You let him do it before. So what's the big deal?
That's it. I agree wholeheartedly. I genuinely can't imagine. I don't know. That the Khabib thing is a tough one, especially with what happened. But we'll see.
Yeah, man. So, okay, man. Another thing that came out last week: Paul Felder stepping in on 5 days' notice to take on RDA in the main event coming up this weekend. Now, me, I was shocked that Felder stepped up to took the fight on 5 days' notice. But in a way, I wasn't, because I was thinking that maybe he was probably due to be on the announce team. And normally when you're on an announce team, you know, you normally already going to be in traveling mode. So I wasn't worried about that part. But 5 days' notice to train for a former champion. I like Felder in this fight, but I don't know how he's going to look. So, hey, but I'm glad he stepped up, but I'm worried about how he's going to look.
I agree. No. I agree wholeheartedly, actually, because, you know, I'm actually a big Paul Felder fan. I remember, you know, if you actually go to his record, and he fought a guy, I believe the guy's name was Steve Ritchie or Ricky or whatever. I'm wrong. Sorry, it was Alessandro Ricky. And it was back in 2017, and that is when Paul Felder officially switched camps and started training with Duke Rufus at Rufus Sport with, like, the Pettis brothers, Woodley, brings from there as well. And that's when he went on a three-fight win streak, you know, all finishes. You know, he beat a Stevie Ray, and then he beat Charles Oliveira. He lost to Mike Perry, but that was at welterweight, so came back down to 155, picked up two big wins, James Vick and Edson Barboza, and then now he's coming off the loss to Dan Hooker, which I think he won that fight. But, is it was such a close fight, and I hate when fights are in, like, the hometown of one of the fighters, because the judging is always suspect. But regardless, it is a lot to come back on, and especially, you know, you look at RDA, who, you know, he's been saving himself the breath of having to cut to 55. You know, he's been chilling at 170, to where Paul's been, you know, breaking his back, making 155, because Paul's a big guy. You know, and he took Mike Perry to a split decision. You know, that's not an easy task for someone who's supposed to be a 55er. But I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be enough for him to beat RDA. But what I'm actually genuinely interested in is he's been training for a triathlon, and so he's been, you know, working on his cardio, you know, exponentially. So I'm curious to see how his 5-round cardio will be. You know, in the Hooker fight, he looked good. He took a lot of damage early on, but they both went to 5 rounds. They didn't really gas out that bad, if at all. And I'm interested to see if his cardio will be better, you know, doing this triathlete training, I guess you could say. But I don't know. I'm going to be biased and say, I'll pick Paul Felder, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried. Actually, I shouldn't be worried, because he's a fighter. But we don't know how much training he's been doing. You know, just because you're training for a triathlon, that isn't fight training. That's cardio training. But his weight should be right on point. His weight should be right there, though. Ben, he is doing some form of training, so he should be able to make weight. But I'm just worried about his performance. But I'm with you. If I had to pick right now, which we'll give our predictions at the end of the show, I'm leaning towards Felder. Because we'll just make our predictions now. I'm leaning towards Felder because I just think RDA has plateaued. I think his career has gotten as high as it's going to get. And he just haven't looked good, man, in his last few fights. And basically, if you ask me, the UFC has basically called him a gateway, has basically made him a gateway fighter in his last couple fights. A gatekeeper, I'm sorry.
No, it's true. You know, his matchmaking has not been, to his benefit. You know, when you look at his last few fights, you know, starting, you know, ever since he came to 170, you know, he won a decision against someone. He was able to choke out Neil Magny, had a great performance against Robbie Lawler, but then immediately faced Colby Covington and Usman back to back, who just out wrestled the shit out of him, the sugar out of him, excuse me. And then he was able to pick up a win against Kevin Lee, who I think, you know, if they rematch, I think Kevin Lee could win that fight. I think Kevin Lee just pushed way too hard, too fast. But then, after that fight, again, Leon Edwards and Michael Chiesa. Edwards, you know, he mixes it up a lot. You know, he's very point fighty, but he's a grinder. You know, he's going to take you down, grind you out, you know, clinch up, hit those elbows. You know, a lot of tiring, you know, style. And then Chiesa's a grappler. He out-grappled him, made him look, you know, just amateur almost. So his losses, they're real, like they're losses, but they're against the top competition. You know, Usman champion, Colby number one, Edwards number three, Chiesa is least top 10, top five. If give me 1 second, Chiesa's top eight. He's number eight. So, you know, the wins, the losses are there, but the competition is real. It's not like he's losing to, you know, Joe Schmo. But to your opinion, to what you're saying, he has not looked good even in, you know, really in those losses. And I just don't know how his body's going to handle going back to 55. You know, he's right at that age of 36, which is not old, but, you know, don't know how long he's been fighting, how long he's been cutting to 55. You know, has his body adapted to 170? Can his body go to 55?
Oh, with you, man, I just don't see it. But you never know, man. Sometimes a change in weight class might energize a guy. So, man, this is hard, man. But I'm going with Felder, man. I just like Felder. I think he's been, like, really, really good since he switched his camps up. He's had some really, really good performances. And I thought he beat the Hooker also. I like Felder in this fight, but I think it goes the distance. I think Felder wins a unanimous decision. And I think it's going to be an entertaining fight, especially if we get classic RDA. If we get classic RDA, it's going to be a good fight, a really good fight.
I agree. I agree. If we can get – and you know, we all know, Paul Felder's not going to try to take RDA down. And RDA hopefully doesn't try to take Paul down. You know, after getting wrestled, you know, four out of the – you know, five, you know, his last five fights, you would hope he would, you know, want to strike with the striker. But you never know. You know, things change and, you know, people switch it up after, you know, kind of, you know, suffering from those losses. But, yeah, I agree. I'm going to take Paul Felder by decision. I definitely think this one goes five rounds.
Yeah. So we had some other news come out last week. Kevin Holland is stepping in to fight Hermanson. I wanted to see Kevin Holland versus Mike Perry, because he did call out Mike Perry in his post-fight interview, and I wanted to see that fight. But we get him going against Hermanson. I'm kind of shocked that they're putting Kevin Holland in the octagon against a guy that's so well-rounded, and I think he's kind of highly ranked at the same time. But, hey, man, I guess they see some things in Kevin Holland that they want to see whether or not he's the real deal or not. So what were your thoughts on that news?
Honestly, I was initially heartbroken because I felt bad for Till, but I saw this coming because I watch a lot of the fighter interviews. I really feel like it benefits, you know, anyone that's interested in learning MMA to watch interviews. They're just so much fun. Kind of gives you that backstage, you know, pass to the fighters. But what's it called? Kevin Holland was talking about it. He wants to get another fight in, maybe even two. And, you know, he was just saying how, you know, he, whoever, if anyone gets hurt and any fights coming up, you know, please, I'll be there. Give me a call. I'm ready to go. And I think, like, last second, someone, the interviewer brought up that Till and Hermanson were fighting. And he's like, oh, that's right. I'm there too. Like, I'm ready to go. And then I saw that breaking news that, you know, Till was out and Kevin Holland stepped in. I was like, that is such a great opportunity for Kevin Holland. It's a huge step up in competition, mega step up in competition, but I think it's a perfect opportunity. Kevin Holland's kind of on a rise right now, you know, 4-0 in his last four fights. He's one win away of, like, being one of, like, the three people to ever have five fights in, like, 1 year or something like that. It's great news. I'm super stoked for him. But it's going to be an extremely tough test. Hermanson is no joke. Hermanson literally submitted Gastelum, like, within the first round. It was quick, and yep. I did not see that coming. And then you look at what Hermanson did to Jacare. Hermanson did to who else was it? David Branch. Hermanson's legit. His ground and pound, his grappling is top level. But he's gonna be a lot bigger, I think, than Holland. You know, Holland being someone I think who has fought at 170 and has thought about going back down to 170 gives me some concerns. You know, he is not the stockiest guy at 185, but clearly can, you know, hang with the, you know, the top 10, top 15. Let's see if he can hang with the top 5.
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of excited for this fight, especially for my man Kevin Holland. I like what I've seen in Kevin Holland. This is definitely, definitely a step up in competition. Hopefully he's ready for it, but if he's not, in a show in his performance, he has to come in there with the attitude of, let me see what Hermanson is going to do. Because Hermanson can submit you, and he does have a solid stand-up game. It ain't a stand-up game that scares the pants off you, but it is a stand-up game that has to be respected. So, man, I like it, though. I like the fact that he was willing to get in there. And it could be to his detriment, or it could springboard him into possibly the top 10. So I think when you have a chance to possibly get springboard into the top 10, then I think that's something that you can't turn down. And I'm glad to hear stuff in the challenge.
I agree. This is it's a mega opportunity for him. He needs to capitalize on it, which he is going to do. And I think even if the chance that he does lose, I think it's a win-win for him. You know, I don't even think he's ranked currently at 185. So, you know, him able to come in as an unranked fighter and get a top guy like Hermanson, even in losing, I think is a huge, huge opportunity. And he's, you know, it's not like he's coming in as like this, you know, debut guy who's only got three fights, like, you know, Khamzat Chimaev, even though Khamzat has looked incredible in his, you know, three fights. But, like, you know, he's been in the game, been in the UFC for some time. He's had those fights, those grueling fights. He's had the losses. Like, I think he's ready for this opportunity. This is big, and I think he's going to capitalize.
Yeah, I think he's going to capitalize too. And I think even if he was to lose, it would depend on how he lost. If he was to lose and it goes to the scorecard and maybe he gets a split decision, I think that definitely does a lot of good for him rather than a lot of hurt. You know what I'm saying? So if he can go in there and actually make it rough on my man, I think it'll definitely go a long way for him. But if I had to pick the fight right now, I think I would go with Hermanson just because of his experience. So, but you know, we never know. We never know how things are gonna go. But at the same time, this is the fight game.
it truly is, because, you know, not to keep it going, but to go off the experience, you know, your opinion on the experience, I said the same thing about GM3, Gerald Merchart. He has over 40 pro fights, and Khamzat at the time, I think, had a total of 8 or 9. And look what Khamzat did. He put him out one punch, and, you know, that was it. So, like, it just, like you said, it's a fight game, and anything can happen, and that is why MMA is the best sport running. Like, there's no sport that just compares to the adrenaline, just the excitement that MMA brings. And I like other sports. You know, I watch football, baseball. I haven't really gotten into basketball, but just nothing like MMA, man.
It's because MMA, anything can happen. And when it happens, sometimes you may think that it's going to happen, but when it happens, you might not see it coming. And that's one of the things with MMA that's so unpredictable, is that, you know, like you said, Merchart, when he went in there, I thought he was going to win because of his experience. I thought he would do some things that my man had never seen before, and lo and behold, night is night.
Exactly.
So, but, you know, man, but, you know, I want to go back to something that me and you was talking about earlier. We really didn't – we got some time, so we can kind of expand on it now. This John Jones-Izzy thing, man. Okay. I know everybody is hyped up about this fight. A lot of people are hyped up about this fight. You know, it's two of the biggest names in MMA. You know, it's two guys that have managed to set the social media world on fire with their Twitter feeds. But as much as everybody wants to see this fight, everything in me saying it's not going to happen. I just don't see it happening, because I don't see John Jones doing all this stuff to be a heavyweight just to revert back down to light heavyweight. I just don't see that happening. And to me, John, why would you even do all that then? That, it makes no sense. You should have just stayed at 205.
That is the biggest thing. I don't really truly understand why he left 205. You know, people always say that he was ducking Reyes, but, you know, after, you know, you look at Reyes after the Jan fight, you know, maybe Reyes just had John's number that night. Maybe Reyes will always have John's number. Who knows? But honestly, the more I think about it, I really don't even know if John Jones is going to fight again. There's really not much reason for him to ever fight again. You know, he won the light heavyweight belt. He had to vacate it or strip it. He got stripped of it. Then he was able to come back and win it again. Then he got stripped of it again. Then he won it back again. Like, it's just kind of tiresome. There's really no point for him to come back down to 205 and possibly win it again. It's just kind of silly. So the only thing really left for him to do is do the super fights at heavyweight, possibly win the heavyweight belt. But if he doesn't want to, really doesn't have to. Like, the dude could just go off into the sunset and just be John Jones. But we all know at some point him and Izzy got to dance. They have to have some sort of interaction, you know, face-to-face. I feel like I hate to say we're owed that, because it's not true, But I just, you know, we're also invested that we have to see something.
And I think that's where they, I think this is where they want us to be. They want us to be at this point right here where we feel like something has to go down between them two. You know, it's like if we don't get this, it's going to feel like we were let down.
I agree.
And, oh, man. But, like we said, it's the fight game, man. The fight game is this. It's all about, they have definitely reeled us in, hook, line, and sinker, on this being a fight that's going to happen. But when you sit back and you actually put one and one together, it's a fight that shouldn't happen.
Right.
But who knows? So, you know, man, it's just one of these things that when it happens, if it does happen, we'll be happy about it. If it don't happen, hey, they reeled us in, and, you know, they got us.
They really did.
Yeah. But another thing coming up is Michael Chandler. I don't know whether or not you follow him on Twitter or if you seen what he said this week. He said something to the effect of, now we know what Dustin and Conor are going to do. Tony Ferguson, what are you waiting on?
Mm-hmm.
He called him out.
You know, I made a tweet about this a few days ago, and a lot of people, I had some, you know, not like any crazy interaction, but I got some likes, but a lot of people got beef with, you know, Michael Chandler. You know, when Islam Makhachev fell out of the RDA fight, you know, immediately RDA called for Chandler because he knew that'd get a lot of buzz, and then he knew Chandler was going to turn it down because Chandler, I've said this a million times, and I feel like people still aren't really getting it. Chandler was signed to the UFC and immediately was signed as the backup for the world title fight. If anything happened, which was very weird, but to me, I believe we've talked about it on the show, that is a sign of how much they value this investment in Chandler. And with that, to me, him stepping in to fight RDA 155 made no sense for him when he has an opportunity to fight Tony Ferguson. Because if you look at the, you know, if we want to base it off the rankings, RDA is the, like, 11th ranked or the 12th ranked welterweight, coming down to 155, and he was going to fight the 15th ranked, what's it called? 15 ranked lightweight. And it just didn't make any, like, it didn't make sense for Chandler to fight him, RDA, because if he fought RDA, he could fight Tony Ferguson, who's number 3. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the Ferguson fight is the fight to make, especially with Dustin and Conor already locked up, and with my man Justin Gaethje just coming off a loss. I think this is the fight to make. And would I be mad if they did the two winners as a title eliminator? Nope, because that basically gives me a tournament to determine who's the number one contender to fight Khabib if he was going to come back to go for 30-0. And I think if you go ahead and let these two fights play out, I say when the second fight comes up, then I will be with you. The UFC will need to put the screws to Khabib then and say, hey, it's either you vacate or we strip you or you coming back. What is it? Because if he decides that he's coming back, then he fights the winners, the winner of that basically that mini tournament for the belt. And then if he doesn't come back, the two winners fight for the belt. So I think that's the way they will have to go with it. And that would be the only way I would agree with them as far as putting the screws to Khabib, as if we go through all this. Because you got to have some kind of payoff for those guys to say, okay, you're fighting for the belt.
I agree. No, I do. I lightweight is very interesting right now. That is the one thing I want to say. There is just plenty of opportunity at 155. And, you know, we talk about Chandler. We talk about Connor. We talk about Justin Gaethje, Ferguson, Dustin Poirier. We talk about them. And we've mentioned this before, but we always keep leaving out Charles Oliveira. The guy is on
sure
an 8-fight win streak at 155, coming off a main event victory against Kevin Lee, who a lot of people, you know, Kevin Lee was, you know, a top prospect when he was coming in, you know, and he took out, he was beating Tony Ferguson initially. He was in an interim title fight, you know, against Tony Ferguson, and he mounted Tony. And then, you know, just, you know, got her gassed out and got submitted, but, and, you know, has fallen on hard times. But regardless, that is still a big win for Charles Oliveira, and it continues his 8-fight win streak. But, again, I feel like this is another Leon Edwards situation where they just don't want him, you know, close to the title because of the fact that with Habib being done and Connor, you know, wanting to be active again and with the title on the line, they're going to keep everyone else away and just freaking, you know, do anything they can to get that back on Connor. And I know we already talked about that, so I won't go rambling, but it always comes back to Connor no matter what.
And when you say that, that has always been my problem with the UFC and their love affair with Conor McGregor. Because to me, it's like they would go out of their way to prop him up while at the same time, you know, taking chances away from other deserving fighters. And we did talk about Charles Oliveira before, but the only reason I said those four names is because I think those are the four big names. Unless this will give me cause to pause. If Charles Oliveira, if Justin Gaethje was to somehow say he wanted into the tournament, the four-man tournament, I would want to see Chandler versus Charles Oliveira. That would be the fight that would make sense to me.
I could see that. I mean, it's tough. It's a tough sell. It really is. It's just, I feel like they put Chandler pedestal that his really only option is to either fight Tony Ferguson or Justin Gaethje, because he's not going to get Connor, and he's not going to get Dustin, so he's really only got those two options. And if he doesn't fight one of them, his next best option is Charles Oliveira. But I don't know. It's Chandler's in a weird position, I must say.
I think Charles Oliveira should be his fight. That's just me. Especially if Gaethje's, if this is going to be, especially if this is deemed to be a mini tournament for a title shot. But who wants to see Ferguson versus Gaethje again? Especially the way Gaethje beat him last time. So you might have to go with Ferguson versus Oliveira and then Gaethje versus Chandler. Any which way you do that, I like both of those fights.
I'm just excited to see fights get announced and just keep the division moving. Also, just to add on to that, if Glover does get the fight against, you know, off kind of bringing things back to earlier, if Glover does take the fight from Izzy, I'm totally fine with that. Again, because I can't stand when the UFC is just forcing this double champ crap. The double champ thing was cool when Connor did it. it was cool when Amanda Nunes did it. It was cool when DC did it. Everyone else afterwards, it's just boring. Like when Cejudo did it, didn't care. When who else is a double champion that they forced this crap on? I don't actually know. I think that might be it. I think that might be
that's
the only few champions. Yeah, see, like, that's my point. Like, Cejudo, his double champ thing was just not fun to me. Even, like, the Nunes double champ thing was only cool because she just dominated everyone at, you know, 135 and then smoked Cyborg. DC, his was fine. You know, he had the light heavyweight belt, and then he went and smacked Stipe and took out Derek Lewis. Cejudo, I got too much annoyance for Cejudo, but I got to give him credit. You know, he deserves the credit for, you know, beating, you know, DJ, TJ, and then Marlon, and then beat Cruz. So the dude does deserve the respect. But yeah, so back to obviously what I was saying is I would be totally fine again if Glover does take the shot because I'm tired of the double champ thing, because I'm tired of divisions getting held up because of, you know, double champions. Like, I don't want to see middleweight suffer like lightweight did, you know, when Conor and Khabib were, like, waiting to fight, or when Conor was champion. Like, I don't want to see that happen for middleweight.
And when you have a double champ, it slows up two divisions, man. It holds up two divisions, and it kind of puts the fighters in that division in kind of a holding pattern. And we, as a fight fan, I really don't want to see that. I want to see everybody being active, you know, guys knowing that, okay, this fight part can possibly, you know, catapult me into the title picture, you know, stuff like that. But when you got that double champ thing, it just slows down a division. And then that's when you get those BS anthem title fights.
I agree.
Which I hate.
I hate them too.
Well, we talked about a lot tonight, me and my man Evan. We talked about Conor and Dustin moving from 170 to 155. We talked about Kevin Holland filling in for Darren Till to fight Hermanson. We talked about Glover's win over Teixeira and what does it mean for the light heavyweight title. We talked about Paul Felder stepping in to fight RDA, gave our predictions on that. We talked about a lot tonight. We talked about a whole lot tonight. That being said, you know, thanks for listening. Next Wednesday, we'll be back, probably same time. I think next Wednesday, we'll be previewing the flyweight championship fights for UFC 256. So, any last words, Evan?
No, you know, just, you know, thank you to everyone who's listening. We appreciate the support, obviously. This is so much fun, you know, to be able to, you know, do this. This is like technically my second official show as, you know, a co-host. So I appreciate the opportunity. I will always appreciate it every day. And yeah, man, just always be kind to each other. You know, it's a tough world out there, and, you know, one day it'll just be the flowers. And, so be kind, just love each other. That's all.
Yeah, man. Just to piggyback off that, you know, very proud of everybody who got out and voted last week. They made their voice heard. Every vote counts. I know some people don't believe that, but it's true. You know, wear your mask. COVID thing has reappeared. It's roaring again. Make sure you practice social distance and wash your hands. Take care of yourself. Take care of others. Be kind, like Evan said. And next Wednesday, same bat channel, same bat time, we'll be coming back at you. Everybody have a good evening. Live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest. Tell somebody you love them and have one good laugh every day. Me, Evan, and Key signing out for the night, episode 167. And then closing as always. Peace.